Welcome back to NH Unscripted, where we are currently in a New York state of mind. I am your Billy Joel-like host, Ray Dudley. We are coming to you from the YMCA-like digs of the WKXL studios, buried deep in the heart of Concord. Break out those Sony Walkmans. Is that a plural? What would be?
Walkmen.
Thank you, sir. Brian Halpern in the house helping out an old man. Break out those Sony Walkmen. Look at those radio bands. And on the AM band, you'll find us at 1450. And on the FM band, 103.9 FM. Those are Concord-based. And for the beautiful people in Manchester, 101.9 FM down there. NH Talk Radio is our URL because we are 21st century kind of people here. I need to thank the sponsor, Lakes Region Fence. It should be Powerhouse Theater, but we'll get to that in a little while. Lakes Region Fence in up in Guilford. Their URL is lrfence.com. Come on, Mother's Day's coming up. Break down, you son of a gun. Bill, get a new fence. Go out there to lrfence.com. They'll give you a free estimate. Click on the button and then make a choice. Pick. Come on. Get up. You just pay taxes. You know that pain. So go out and treat your wife or spouse or your significant other to a new fence. Just think. The neighbors will just love you. lrfence.com. Matt and the group up there, Lakes Region Fence, we love them. All right, I'm moving on. In the house, as you heard earlier, Brian Halpern, good morning, my friend.
Hello, Ray.
How are you?
So nice to see you, as always.
Do you mean that?
Of course.
What?
I mean, you text me a lot, but we don't get to see each other as much.
Well, I like to stay anonymous.
Yeah.
I use all these little different names when I text you. I'll text you under different aliases just to see what's going on. I do not actually do that. We have a lot to talk about. And I know there's a lot that you want to talk about, but let's chit-chat for a minute.
Sure.
How are things literally really up there for Powerhouse?
Powerhouse is going great. We have a one big happy family that's growing with every show, and we have just a great time. And, you know, you've done some stuff with us. Andrew's done some stuff with us. We just try and be a welcoming group and try and put on really high-quality shows, and the combination hopefully gets people engaged and excited to come out for the next one.
I have said about Powerhouse to other people, and I sent you that clip from the previous show. You live the definition, really, of community theater. You welcome anybody, especially like for your Christmas shows and stuff. You don't turn people away. If they want to come out, be in the show, unless I'm mistaken, you'll put them in. You'll find a spot for them, which is tremendous. Kudos, brother. Kudos.
Generally true. I mean, occasionally the show just will not accommodate the number of people who audition, but that's not usually a problem, and usually we can find a way to use just about everybody who auditions.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the other thing is that you encourage them to come out, new people especially, people who have never done anything, which is huge. You know, a lot of people get a little tenuous about whether or not they ought to come out if they've never done theater before. And I think really, and it's not just Powers, you've done this a long time, that you really have encouraged newbies to show up, dip their toe in.
Well, our goal is to, you know, our success is when somebody joins a show, whether they've experienced performer and new to us or new performer, and immediately signs up for the next one.
Yeah.
You know, then you know that they had a good time and they enjoy being around the community. And, you know, our motto is community building through community theater. So, like, we definitely try to take that as, you know, as a serious part of our ethos and why we do what we do. And, you know, Power Chords, our singing group, is another offshoot of that, another way for people to get involved that, you know, doesn't have as big a time commitment and it's just singing. And, you know, we just try and find ways to engage with our community through the arts, through musical theater, through theater, and just see what comes out by offering different opportunities and seeing what we're able to accomplish when people come out for them.
Yeah. Do you cater your thought process for each of the upcoming seasons around that kind of, you know, how many people may come out, or do you not care?
No, I mean, you know, there's a variety. Like for the 70 people, we can, you know, get into A Christmas Carol or, you know, Fiddler on the Roof, which we're about to audition and I'm sure we'll talk about today.
Yeah.
You know, then there are shows like Tuck Everlasting we're doing now, which we have 43 in, which is, you know, more than Tuck Everlasting calls for. But we were able to find ways to use people and get them involved. So, you know, as long as we always have sort of a big summer show and the big Christmas Carol show, and you know, there'll at least be two opportunities that just about anybody could get into, you know, with a large cast. And
yeah.
So it's definitely something we keep in mind, but isn't the only thing. We also want to just do projects that excite us as producers, but also we think will excite and engage our community, both the participants and the patrons. We're always looking at both sides of that.
Yeah, interesting. And you have a different kind of a line to walk there, because your shows all go on at the Colonial, right? So you kind of have to up your game. You just, in other words, it's not like you're in a barn somewhere, you know, and you just, you and your friends putting on a show and hope that Uncle Joe comes out and sees it, you know.
We do want Uncle Joe to come out. Please don't get the wrong idea.
But you do have a responsibility, right? I mean, it's the Colonial Theater. It's rehabbed. It's gorgeous. And you don't just want to stick any old, you know, mess in there and hope that people come out. And I'm thinking like Guys and Dolls up at the Winnie when I saw it. That was a cluster.
Hey, I was in that.
I don't wonder why I thought I was. I know.
You may want to edit this section, Ray.
We leave no stone unturned. We're fearless here. But I mean,
well, we always try and put on a high quality thing.
I know.
No matter where we're performing it. You know, when we do our Spark series, smaller events at Prescott Farm and the library and the Belknap Mill and stuff, you know, we're not building elaborate sets and lights and things like that, but
yeah.
We still always want our quality to be good. And
I'm only gigging Guys and Dolls because I know that there have been times when the community theater group up north in that area fights for some decent financing, and I thought there was some cheap things going on. So that's just me, though. That's just me. Moving on. How can you explain to people who might not be aware of your no longer connected to the Mill? I mean, or
sure.
what is your...
So we started, Powerhouse Theater Collaborative started as the resident theater company of the Colonial, but we were under the umbrella of the Belknap Mill, a nonprofit organization. And after our first 3 years, we had kind of outgrown the Mill and the need for that. And they had some other things they wanted to do on their end. And we felt we had grown enough that we could stand on our own 2 feet and become independent. So we're a Powerhouse Theater Collaborative is now a standalone nonprofit entity. Just like in most community theaters, we have a board, we also have a staff, and you know, our resident theater company status of the Colonial has stayed the same. It's just now not, you know, the Mill is sort of no longer the middleman. It's just directly between Powerhouse and the Colonial.
So where are you guys out of then? You just out of Meredith? Is that what you claim?
We're based at the Colonial, and the smaller shows that we used to do at the Mill, we do all around town at different places.
You do?
Yep. So our Spark series this year has 2 events at Prescott Farm, 2 events at the Taylor Community, 2 at the Laconia Library, 1 at Temple B'nai Israel, 1 at the Congregational Church of Laconia.
What?
So we're just sort of branching out and doing smaller things all around town and collaborating with other nonprofits to present different events.
Dude, you are busy.
Yes.
What does Spark stand for? Does it stand for something?
Well, it's, I mean, it just goes along with our Powerhouse sort of electricity, motif. But it's designed to smart community and collaboration and connections and things like that. So.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the festival coming up at the Prescott
Farm.
Yes,
you're going to be in it.
I am. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm not doing a whole lot. You know, I'm getting old. I mean, I'm honestly between 2 of us. And whoever listens.
I think between everybody, everyone acknowledges you're getting old, Ray.
So I'm going to leave that there. But, so I don't do quite as much anymore. I don't have the stamina for some stuff. You know, I was up in Lincoln at last Christmas, and we were doing Christmas Carol. And I got some kind of lung thing that I have not been able to shake. I have this lack of deep breath. I don't have the stamina I used to have. Just like all of a sudden
Did
one
you
night.
Did you get COVID maybe?
No, well, you know, it's possible. It's possible. And I can't shake it to save my life. I don't care how much exercise I try to do. I just cannot get a deep breath a lot of times. It's really kind of crazy.
It's a good thing you were an actor first before singing anyway.
Thank you.
So you could probably get by with your acting ability.
Sweet baby Jesus, we are one toke over the line, and we are pushing the line sometimes. You are listening to NH Unscripted. I am your happy-to-be-out-of-bed host and happy to be with my friend Brian Halperin, Ray Dudley. We are coming to you from the spa-like conditions of the WKXL studios in Concord, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM, proudly, and 101.9 FM for the beautiful folks in Manchester. NHTalkRadio.com is our URL. Brian and I have a lot to talk about. We'll be right back. This is the way I always dreamed it would be. Yes, NH Unscripted. I am your Beach Boys-like host, Ray Dudley. So happy to have on my bunny slippers. Be kicking back here with Brian Halperin. We are coming to you from the, let's see, where are we now? The Taj Mahal-like digs of the beautiful KXL studios. It is cavernous in here. Cavernous, I say. We are, you can listen to us, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM. Those are Concord-based and 101.9 FM in Manchester. NHTalkRadio.com is the URL, but you all knew that. I'm sure you did. Brian, I have a question for you. As just two people yapping. I was listening to Procol Harum, A Whiter Shade of Pale. It's a song.
Okay.
Group from the 70s. And an updated version of their song, and it moved me. I mean, it was, the original was fascinating. The updated version bordered on spiritual. It was captivating to me. They added string instruments. They added horns. They added a choral background. So it got me to thinking, because one of the reasons I love theater so much is, and performing in theater. I love to be moved emotionally. When I go to a show, I'm hoping that somehow I'm going to walk away happier, or even having cried or had some experience. I try to impart that same thing when I perform. I want, if people go there, they've paid good money, probably gone out to dinner if it's like a weekend show, and I want them to go away having had some kind of connection. What, for you, can you name something that in, I guess in theater, it can be in music, I guess, but that has captivated you like that, that you've walked away and said, that was novel. That, I did not expect it. I was moved. Something caught me.
Well, wow, that is a great intro to two of the things that I wanted to talk about today.
Dude, this is what I do.
That's amazing.
I'm a professional.
Because interestingly, I mean, these shows that I'll give you two examples, but I agree with you. I mean, that's what is so great about theater, and particularly musical theater, when it hits on all notes, that it's like just this supreme art form of touching all the emotions, visual, heart, intellectual sometimes. And so it's funny you say that, because I just got asked this question earlier today about why were we doing Tuck Everlasting, which is a musical that pretty much flopped on Broadway and now is making the rounds of community theaters and youth theaters and stuff. And it is truly a beautiful piece that you're going to love it. I guess you're buying a ticket because
of course I would.
You're going to love this show based on what you just said. When I saw it on Broadway, there's a 10-minute dance sequence at the sort of as the climax of the show, which is like, you know, the old sort of dance interludes at the middle of shows in, like, you know, Oklahoma and stuff. And they never really do that anymore. But you've seen the movie Up?
Yeah.
You know, like the first 10 minutes, they tell that silent story that is like their whole life's love affair, and like you're in tears after 10 minutes?
Yes.
This is the end of our show, but it has a 10-minute silent section like that that's just music and told through dance. And it's just, when I saw it on Broadway, I was like, I can't believe they did the climax of their show, even a musical, with just dance. And it was so beautiful and moving and touching. That was one of the main reasons I wanted to do this show. The message in general is really uplifting and lovely, and the songs are great. But this novel thing that they did, it was such a change from, you know, a typical Broadway sort of climax, just really did move me like that. And, you know, even as I watched them perform it in rehearsal, and Meg King, our choreographer, has just done a wonderful job with Tuck Everlasting. There's so much like lyrical ballet in it, dance styles that we've never really had in any of our shows before.
Yeah.
And we have this 9-person dance troupe, we're calling them the Spirits of the Spring, who dance throughout the show, this beautiful dancing, all, you know, very experienced dancers, and move beautifully and move the story along, and then this resulting climax is just sensational. And even the rest of the cast, every time they watch in rehearsal, like, it makes me cry every time I watch it. Like, yeah. It's that beautiful.
Can we pause here for a second and rest on that? So having seen it on Broadway, you, not me, did you have a fear of bringing it to a community theater setting where you might not have been able to translate what you saw to an audience, because you run the risk of the quality maybe not being there? You don't know who's showing up in community theater.
Well, I knew we'd have plenty of singing and acting talent. We really wanted this special dance ensemble, though. So we, in our promotion of our auditions for the show, we really went out hard to get people who were dancers first. So sometimes people who are really good dancers, especially like, you know, if they're out of college or whatever, don't get to dance that much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they don't sing. You know, they can't sing or they don't like to sing. Or
I do it all.
Well, you do, yes. But so yes. We were waiting for you to audition for this dance troupe, Ray, but you didn't come out as usual. But so we thought, you know, we would emphasize in the auditions that we were looking for dancers who wouldn't have to sing or memorize a note. All you'd have to do is dance. They don't
really
open their mouths in the show.
You specified that.
Yes. So we had several people come out who are dancers first. And we had other people who can also sing and act and dance who've been in our other shows who are like, I want the challenge of really doing some meaty, harder than, you know, normal musical theater dancing. So we have this troupe of 9 who are all wonderful dancers, and they just really add an element to the show that, yes, I mean, as you said, that would have been the part we were nervous about.
Yeah,
could we find
yeah.
dancers who could do what we wanted them to do? But we did, and we're really happy about it.
Wow. Wow. And that takes place at the end of Tuck?
Yes. So you gotta sit through the whole show. Don't fall asleep.
Or come back. Yeah. You said there were 2 shows on your heart that felt really touched you.
Yeah. So the other one is the one we're auditioning next week, May 2nd and 3rd, Fiddler on the Roof, which is our big summer show. And, you know, I have a long history with Fiddler on the Roof. I did it right after high school in a summer program. And then I did it again in college. And that's where Johanna and I met. So 30 years ago, we was the last time we've done
Fiddler. You don't look 30 years old.
Yeah, right. I'm a little older.
I'm helping you out here, brother.
You don't need to. It's okay. So what's interesting about Fiddler on the Roof is my perspective on it has changed so much in the intervening years.
True, yeah.
Yeah, because I played Perchik, which is one of the suitors, both times I did it. And, you know, all the time, you know, that's about getting the girl and the romance and stuff. Now, as a parent of 2 daughters, Tevye had 5 daughters, I've got 2 daughters, and, you know, watching them grow up, it hits me in a totally different way. Mm. So even a few years ago, watching the movie with one of my daughters, I was like, I'm not a big crier, but sometimes things move me in the right way. And, like,
yeah.
I cried like 3 times in the show, and it's just all about, like, oh my God, he's never going to see Huddle again. You know, she's going to Siberia, and he knows he'll never see her again. And, you know, Hav is dead to him now. And, you know, as a father of 2 daughters, like, it hit me in such a different way. And I'm really hoping when we do the show, we're conveying both of those elements to it. The romance of the young love of the 3 younger couples, but also the heartbreak of, you know, Tevye and Golda having to navigate this really tough world with their children and trying to keep them safe and trying to just do their best by them in a world where they have, you know, losing control of a lot of things. So, you're right. That is that's the best part about art, right? Is finding ways. Yeah. It doesn't have to move you to tears. It doesn't have to make you giggle. Whatever way it strikes a chord in people, any kind of art, music, dance, visual arts, you know, that's why artists do it, right? To connect with people and share something. And, you know, ultimately theater is a storytelling art. And, you know, if you tell a story in a way, that you're, you know, putting your heart into it of what you're trying to tell, you know, I think oftentimes you'll find a way to connect with audiences.
It's huge.
And that's always sort of been my MO as a director is, you know, as an audience member, how would I connect to this and how can I, you know, direct my cast and, you know, work with my creative team to, you know, to share what we feel about it with the audience. And that, you know, I think that's when you're successful as a director is, you know, sort of sharing the heart. I always say, you know, I always try and find the heart in every show I do and find a way to translate that to something the audience can perceive.
Oh man, so many topics, Brian. So many. I'm glad you brought up a lot of stuff. I have a friend who once said to me, I don't get musicals. I don't get how you expect people to watch two folks in conversation all of a sudden break out into dance and music. Dang it. Ooh. Brian, we got to put on our dancing shoes, tap out into a break, baby. Oh, mama. Gotta have some. We haven't even got to the things we wanted to talk about yet. Whew, you are listening to NH Unscripted. I told you we were in a New York state of mind. I am your Billy Joel-like host, Ray Dudley, and we are coming to you from the water country-like digs of the WKXL studios in Concord, deep, 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 deep in the heart. 1450 AM, 103.9 FM, 101.9 FM for the beautiful souls down there in Manchester. We love you, folks. NHTalkRadio.com is our URL. Brian Halperin's in the house. We're chatting all things theater. I'm so glad he's here. We'll be right back. The tambourines and elephants all playing in the band. Whew. Welcome back to NH Unscripted. I am your happy to be out of the home host, Ray Dudley. Actually, I've escaped out of the home several times. They don't know it until they find out I'm not there for applesauce and Jell-O. We are coming to you from the studios of WKXL, the bunkers deep, buried, buried deep. Deep, deep, deep in Concord, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM. We're sneaking these out. 101.9 FM in Manchester. NHTalkRadio.com is our URL because we're cool kids. That's why we have one. You can go out there and up there's a button where you can listen to us live. Because, yeah, who wouldn't want to hear this show live, right? I mean, look at, we got to nail the door shut as it is just to keep people up. And you can find all the archives from all the other great shows here at the studio. But enough of that, Brian. We are talking the mechanics of theater, and I love to talk these things. So, I'm not even sure where I was going to go with all the... So, that one of the things about that song that I had told you about, and we'll get into Tevye and all these things coming up for you for your auditions. But I wanted to... So, if something touches you properly, it timestamps something in your life, on your brain, on your heart, on your soul. And when you hear it or see it 20 years later, 30 years later, or in my case, 50 years later, you instantly flash back to what was happening at that moment, which is remarkable that the human mind and soul can marry something like that to you. And I think that really... Really good performances can do that to people. I mean, we all go because, you know, Annie's nice, Mama Mia, it's cute, we know all about you. But a really good show
will timestamp you, will imprint on you in some way. That you walk out, you're talking about it, you wake up in the middle of the night a month later or so, it's still on your mind, on your heart. And I think it's very difficult to achieve that, which is what makes great performances great performances. I had a friend who said to me, I started this before the break, he doesn't understand musical theater at all. Or the movie that's got a musical in it. That, because he doesn't understand how people can be talking and all of a sudden you expect them, they're going to break out in song. He doesn't understand the tie that the song can have to the people, to the audience. Because, first of all, you've got to let your mind go. You have to free will. You have to believe. You have to let yourself go in a way that I'm going on this ride. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to take it in. Pretend or not pretend, whatever, and go along for that ride. He missed the point, I think, of what you were talking about earlier, in that there are things in shows, it's art, and art can move you. It can move you. I mean, remember, every artist, at least when they first start out, the great singers, the great songwriters, they have something inside, internally, they need to get out. They either need to write it down, they need to play it on an instrument, they need to perform it, they need to paint it. Something's in them, like Van Gogh, they got to get it out. It's not, I'm not going to say it's painful, but there's something in them. And when you listen to great songs, they're very personal, especially when that artist is brand new and they're not just pumping out albums because they need to make money. The first few songs they put out are life songs. Something's happened in their life.
But you used the word great several times in that little monologue there.
Maybe it's the only adjective I know.
No, but whatever substitute, you know, one thing to remember, of course, is that subjective, right? I mean, your great is not somebody else's great.
True.
And I think, you know, that's where it's really interesting, because every human being has their own taste of what moves them. And if that, you know, that friend of yours can't get over the leap into singing, then no matter how, you know, arguably great, so a performance won't touch that person.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just, it's one of those things where art, you know, when you experience that, you talk about it imprints on you and stuff. But what's interesting is that, like, I often find now that I'm older too, that like you can look at things in different ways depending on where you are in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the best art grows and changes with you as your life experiences change. And if it really, you know, a masterpiece, like, you know, I watched this great documentary about Fiddler on the Roof. It's called Fiddler, A Miracle of Miracles. It's available on Amazon Prime and Peacock. And I've encouraged people who are auditioning for Fiddler to watch it, 'cause I think it just gives a lot of really great insight into it. But, you know, one of the stories they tell was, you know, the first Japanese production of Fiddler, you know, Bach and Harnack went to Japan to watch it. And somebody came up to them and said, you know, about this, you know, Jewish shtetl show, how did you know all this? This show is so Japanese.
What?
And, you know, they tell that story as a great example of why, you know, why Fiddler is still performed. I think until COVID, I believe there was a stat like Fiddler had performed somewhere in the world every day since 1964, since it was first opened. Like there was always—
That's a remarkable statistic.
Crazy, right? But it's because it's so specifically about Jewish shtetl life and so universally about family and tradition and humanity and all that. And it connects, like I was saying, you know, with different people at different phases of their life in different ways as well. So, you know, that's where I think, you know, if you want to use the sort of non-subjective version of great art, is when it can reach people of different cultures and different ages and different socioeconomic things and all, you know, and find something to engage all of them. That's, you know, I think something that you can argue is, you know, truly great art.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's plenty of shows that I love that, you know, flopped on Broadway and, you know, New York critics and the Broadway going audience would not call that show great, but
yeah,
I might call it great, and yeah, you know, that's okay too.
I'm glad you mentioned the maturing aspect or perspective that you can have on a role, because I don't know if that's touted enough. You know, we all see a lot of these shows, like for instance, Fiddler, And we all expect, you know, if I were a rich man, whatever. And it's done. It's funny. It's a, you know, whatever. But I think to hear you say that as you get older and more life events happen to you, that it becomes more important for the weight of those to formulate a character. And you know, it would be very easy for you to say, we just need, you know, somebody who looks like Zero Mostel and or whoever.
I did not want Zero Mostel. Nothing against Zero Mostel, but he's too old.
Oh, Topol. All right. Anyway, my point is, but you could go for that, like, charismatic, over-the-top kind of character, right? Or you can do what I think I heard you intimating, that there's another aspect to this. There's a real father-like aspect that weighs in, that can be mined to maybe even bring this whole thing to a different level.
There's always a danger in going for the cheap laugh.
Yes.
That pays off in the short run with a bunch of giggles.
I know.
But ultimately lessens the impact of the piece because you can't, you know, take the character seriously. That's actually one of my big fears of, you know, of Tevye. I don't want a Tevye that is, you know, the Borscht Belt.
It's easy to do
Catskill
it.
Comedian, sure. Kind of thing.
That's the lazy way to do it.
Yeah. And I mean, that. Will the show have more laughs in it? Probably.
Right.
Will it be as impactful or interesting? I don't think so. So I think, you know, Fiddler's one example, but lots of shows and lots of actors, that's the trick, right? That balance between over the top, which can pay off in laughter, but can undermine the whole, you know, the whole point of the story.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think as an audience member, you know when the character, the actor's just trying too hard for, you know, the laugh and not playing, you know, playing the heart or the emotion. Yeah. And just going for the broadest, most comedic way possible.
And I think it's a real danger, especially for an older actor.
It's like having a little appetizer instead of a full meal, you know? You get that, a couple of nice bites, but, you know.
It's like my mashed potatoes before my Jell-O, you know.
Exactly. You want to mix them.
Let's talk about your auditions coming up for the show, because that's really why you're here.
Actually, no. I want people to come see Tuck Everlasting.
Well, I don't know if this will be airing for Tuck Everlasting, will it?
Yeah, Tuck's after auditions.
Oh.
Auditions are next week. Tuck's the week after.
Oh, okay. Well, it will then. So give me all the information. All right. Talk to me about, give me the dates and times of Tuck.
Sure.
And give me what's going on.
We got a very busy month or so at Powerhouse. May 2nd and 3rd, next Friday and Saturday, are Tuck auditions. I mean, Fiddler auditions. Tuck is the weekend after, May 10th through 12th.
Put a pin right there, baby.
Okay.
Put a pin right there. Holy moly, the time just flies. It's like I'm in a time warp or something. Not the one, but never mind. Oh, I am the devil with the blue dress on. Yes, yes, NH Unscripted. I am your Mitch Ryder-like host, Ray Dudley, and we are coming to you from the monk-like conditions of the WKXL studios in Concord. I can hear the chimes from here. We are coming to you 1450 AM, 103.9 FM, and 101.9 FM for the beautiful souls in Manchester. NHTalkRadio.com is the URL. We're running out of time. My God, Brian Halpern's in the house. We're chatting away theater. We'll be right back. What a day for a daydreaming boy. I was going to say girl, but what the heck? You are listening to NH Unscripted. I am your loving spoonful-like host, Ray Dudley. Yeah, getting handsomer by the second. Ooh, baby, it's great to be alive. We are coming to you from 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, and NHTalkRadio.com. God bless us, is our URL. Holy moly. Oh, I could get an amen on that, I'll tell you. Brian Halpern's in the house. We are talking all things theater, and I mean all things if I can get to them. Sir, you were talking about auditions. You're talking about Tuck. The floor is yours.
So, yes, at Powerhouse, we'd love for people to come get involved and check out our shows. We've got auditions for Fiddler on the Roof May 2nd and 3rd. We've got Tuck Everlasting May 10th through 12th. We've got Sondheim on Sondheim here in Concord at the Bank of New Hampshire
stage. I might have puked a little bit in my mouth over Sondheim. I have a hard time with him. Yeah. That's me.
We've got some wonderful singers in the show. So you can come to talk then.
Was not a comment on your show, just me and Sondheim.
That's May 24th to 26th.
Uh-huh.
And then come see Ray at Prescott Farm outdoors. He'll probably be glowing red. You better wear your sunscreen. It's outdoors. But in one of our shows in our June 1st and 2nd play festival at Prescott Farm. So we've got a busy month of things going on. And this is one of those months where my wife says, why did you sign us up for all these things?
Because. That's why.
I like to get people involved in things.
The mountain is there to climb.
People want to do stuff with us, and you know, we feel happy and lucky that so many people are engaged in our program that we just want to keep giving opportunities.
You know, truthfully, you have a huge following up there. People who have been in your shows continue to be in your shows, which is really remarkable. I mean, that's what community is about, right? The repeats, the people who are like, you know what? This is my home. I'm comfortable here. I have friends here. And they're not just floating from group to group to group to group, you know?
Well, I mean, but we have that too. I mean, there are plenty of people who do shows at lots of other places too and then come back when there's a show that interests them. And, you know, we're happy to have those people as well. I mean, you know, anyone who comes in, you know, contributes positively to your group, the door is always open to, you know, to return. And, you know, people have busy schedules and people have other interests. But, you know, what we did a show in February. It was a musical review and a whole bunch of new young people came out for that show. And a whole bunch of them signed right up for Tuck Everlasting and now say they're, you know, coming out for Fiddler as
well. That's my point.
Yeah, that makes us feel happy when people have a good time and want to sign right back up.
Yeah, I was out at your website earlier today. What are the criteria for the auditions for Fiddler? I noticed that you had some very specific things that...
Yeah, there's a little dance video that people can watch the video at home and learn in advance, but then...
Just the Russian dances that...
Exactly, the bottle dance, all the hard stuff. We're going right for the hard stuff. No, we did tell our good dancers from Tuck Everlasting that, you know, if we don't get enough male dancers for the, you know, the bottle dance, you know, we might be doing women in beards for that, so stay limber.
Would be worth it just to see that.
But... yeah, so there's a little dance video. It's a short combination that Meg King, again, our choreographer, has come up with. And that will be one aspect of the audition. She'll review it.
Is it just like a box step or something? Or what
it's a little more than that.
Okay.
It's enough that she can identify.
I'm out right there.
Who's a mover and who's a dancer and who's a two left feet. Then there's a singing component, a minute of a song of their choosing. Like, it's pretty standard audition. And then audition sides, you know, pieces from the script. And people who just want to be in the ensemble don't even need to do audition sides. They can just, you know, if they just want to sing and be in the group numbers and stuff, they can audition.
Dude, say that again, because that's the inviting part of community theater right there.
Yeah, we don't. If you're not going for a lead role, you don't have to do the acting portion of the audition. You certainly can try it for the experience, but if it petrifies you and you're not interested at all, you know, don't let that be a stumbling block. You could just come and do the song part. It's usually, though, the other way around. It's the song part and the dance part that scare people, not the acting part. So.
I know that. I get that. That sends a chill up my spine. How many people will be in the cast eventually? I mean, if you at a minimum, how many are you hoping for?
I have no number in my head. I mean, we are doing something a little different with this show because summer's busy and you know, lots of things are going on. Our concept for Fiddler is a little bit different, and we're having what we're calling the large time commitment ensemble and the small time commitment ensemble.
Ooh, pretty dope.
Which is basically a chance for either people who, you know, don't make the cutoff in the large time commitment or, you know, could but don't want to put in a lot of time and but would like to be involved. So they'll be in different numbers, and we have a use for this small time commitment ensemble that is part of our concept that will give them stuff to do. But
are they basically like townsfolk or something? Or what?
Well, so our
guy pushing a duck across the stage.
No, it's a little more than that. Our concept is basically, as I mentioned, well, maybe I didn't measure. We're doing this play called The Immigrant, that is a stage reading of a play about a Jewish immigrant to America in to Galveston, Texas, in September. And it's sort of our, like, we're not a sequel, but we're treating it sort of as a sequel and a companion piece to Fiddler. Because
Fiddler Light.
No, not Light, just the next part of the story, right?
Oh, okay,
I mean, you know,
okay.
No spoilers, but Fiddler ends with Tevye and his wife and two daughters, you know, leaving Anatevka for America. So the immigrant will sort of give an idea of what might have happened to them when they got to America.
Mm.
But so our sort of
as opposed to Gangs of New York.
Yes, exactly.
Got you.
Different. So our Fiddler is going to actually be set on the boat that Tevye and Golda are on. We're going to be introduced to a bunch of immigrants, not necessarily all Jewish immigrants, just immigrants in a rag ship in the hold of the ship amongst all the crates and luggage and things like that hanging out. And a guy gets up and starts playing his violin, and that sparks a memory in Tevye. And, you know, then his story of how they got to that boat, you know, comes to life.
This is like Captain's Courageous meets Fiddler.
Yes, exactly. I guess I get back to boats again. We have a boat in Tuck, too. I mean, just in one scene, but I don't know. Maybe it's being around Winnipesaukee and becoming a boating person.
Oh, that's funny. That's interesting.
So this small-time commitment ensemble will be the immigrants in the beginning. They'll also be the ancestors in the dream sequence, and then they'll come back at the end. I won't spoil the surprise, but how we're ending the show is the other different thing we're doing. But the middle will feel like a very traditional Fiddler production. It's like our Sound of Music last year. We had a little bit of a twist to it by treating it as if it was the
Germans
families.
Were the good guys.
No. we treated it as if it was the Traps, you know, who toured America when they came to America as a singing group. They did like classical music tours, but we treated it as if, what if they had come to Laconia and performed their show as their tour.
Ooh.
So it was musical theater via, the Sound of Music on stage at the Colonial Theater in 1945,
kind of thing.
So that's our little twist on Fiddler. And I think if we're successful, just like with Sound of Music, you might notice there's some differences to a traditional production, but you'll enjoy that, hopefully, but also it will still feel very much like a Sound of Music or a Fiddler production you might have seen before. But we're hoping to be very dynamic and fast-paced and exciting.
I know we're going to run out of time. Why don't you throw out the URLs again and the dates for all of this?
Everything's on powerhousenh.org.
Got
we also have a Facebook page, Instagram. You can follow us there. We have an email newsletter people can sign up for via the website and make sure they get all the news. So Fiddler auditions are May 2nd and 3rd. Tuck Everlasting's May 10th through 12th, and you got plenty of time for the other stuff.
Nice. Are the auditions live, or are they... They're not self-tapes, are they?
No, there is a video option for those who can't make those dates.
Yeah.
But they are in person at the Colonial, either one or the... You don't have to come to both, either the Thursday, May 2nd, or Friday, May 3rd.
Okay. So that covers Tuck, that covers Fiddler, and then I thought I saw something... Was it the immigrant that I was looking at? Was the third thing on the website? There was things listed under auditions.
We have this Alice in Wonderland thing that we're doing in September at Prescott Farm, which is a rove around it's like a promenade theater production where small groups of audience members will follow Alice to different locations around Prescott Farm and see
really?
A different interactive
really?
Thing at each location. Yeah, Tess Hodges,
that's novel.
Who is one of our playwriting workshop people, was sort of commissioned to write an adaptation of that specifically for Prescott Farm to move around the campus, and we're excited about that. And then at some point we'll have auditions for Crucible, The Crucible, which is our fall show.
That's what it was,
yeah.
Crucible. Oh, seriously? Oh, dude, I am so glad.
Time flies when we're having fun, right?
I'm telling you, hang on, Sloopy. Sloopy, hang on. You have been listening to NH Unscripted. I'm in love. I'm so happy to be out of the house. I am Ray Dudley, your host with the bunny slippers. You've been listening to NH Unscripted on 1450 AM or 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, or maybe nhtalkradio.com. You can hear our show every Wednesday and Friday morning, you lucky listeners, 9 a.m. WKXL. All right, Brian and I are done. Brian, thank you so much for being here, my friend.
Thanks so much, Ray. Always a pleasure.
I am glad. All right, that's it for today. Whew, another one for the archives.